The LLC is, it's almost like a, it's like a protective layer, right? It does not prevent them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they can't actually touch it, but it makes it a lot more difficult for people to come after your personal account, your personal funding, your personal home, and all those other things. So your LLC is an entity in and of itself that is seen almost like a person. You can come after that person, but you can't come after, me.
Correct.
Right? It doesn't have a social security number like you. What your LLC will have is what's called an EIN, which is an employee identification number, which is something that you would get as a part of the process of filing for an LLC.
Welcome to the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success, where we explore life at the intersection of money. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Julian. And today we're demystifying, myth-busting, I can't think of another word, business structures. I feel like this is going to be a clunky episode. There's a lot of big words.
No, demystifying business structures.
Demystifying business structures.
Sounds thrilling.
Yeah. No, I listen, I want to jump right into this one by giving a shout out to Jennifer, who's one of our longtime listeners, who actually asked us to talk about this subject because her husband has been talking a lot about LLCs. This is what I mean by, like, this is going to be a tongue twister podcast episode, but... yeah, she asked us to record this episode, and I was really glad that she did because it's one of those things that's been, like, on our minds, but we hadn't actually slotted it or slated it as an episode topic. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really happy to do that because obviously there's some implications when it comes to, like, taxes and earning money and starting a business. And so shout out to Jennifer for that recommendation. And again, if anyone else is out there, if you have a topic that you'd like us to cover, please don't hesitate to send us an email at hello@richandregular.com. Let us know what you want us to talk about. And if we feel equipped and excited to talk about it, we'll definitely do that.
Yes. And I'll start by clarifying that an LLC is a limited liability company. And by wishing everyone...
You said that, you didn't even stutter. Look at you.
I know. And I'll also start by wishing everyone a happy Financial Literacy Month. For those who don't know, April is National Financial Literacy Month, and it's a really good time to brush up on useful and practical information about money, like business structures. And then, before we jump in, I also want to say thank you to everyone who left a review. As of today, we're at 104 five-star reviews. So we hit my little 100 review goal. So now I need a new goal.
And what did they win? A new set of jokes?
A new set of jokes.
Okay. Well,
I'll try to pick one today.
Yeah. Good luck.
And then I want to shout out to Nuari08. Because their review actually starts with a what had happened was, and they write, I hadn't had an iPhone until now, and that's why I'm late. So it was a really sweet review. They said that quality is our middle name, and that we bring topics to a real world example and make the episodes actionable and personable. Personal. It was just like, is somebody cutting an onion?
No, yeah, don't snorting over here.
I know. Thank you. Thank you for the kind words. Like Julian mentioned, we seriously love hearing from you. And your words not only motivate us to get more creative about topics, but they also help our podcast become more visible and easy to find for others who may need the advice. So you putting other people on, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And let me also say, like, I feel like we have the type of podcast and brand that, like, people kind of want to keep to themselves. Like, we have a very intentional...
It's like a hole in a wall.
Yeah, it's like, I ain't trying to tell nobody about this restaurant because then they're just going to mess it up.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that, but we actually also really appreciate it if y'all would share some of the content. And what's interesting is we know that. We knew that doing it. We were going to do it anyway, but, you know, just wanted to give you guys a shout out and thank you guys for all of the support. We definitely appreciate it. Okay, so going back to the reason why we are recording this episode, this was a topic that was recommended by one of our listeners, and I am not surprised by what prompted her note, because I think particularly among, like, men and the fellas, I feel like there's, like, this huge wave in the last couple of years of content creators that are serving up. I'm, like, hedging here. Like, I don't want to call it clickbaity, but it's, like, I'm calling it, like, hustle-heavy financial,
like,
content. Hack content.
Or, like, workaround, loophole content.
Yes.
It's like the thing nobody's going to tell you.
Yeah.
It's like, actually,
this is how I got into the thing. And I was, like, I mean, you could have just walked through the front door. Like, you didn't have to do all this complicated, you know, how did you get in? I just asked. I applied. I just walked through the front door. And I was like, nah, you got
to
get in.
Let me show you how to get in through the window.
And I was like, all right, well, cool. I'll meet you in there. Like, you know, congratulations. But yeah, I just think that there's been a lot of that stuff. And while it's great, I think, at capturing people's attention, I think the approach is kind of setting the tone for how a lot of people think about some of these concepts and these ideas. And so we want to do a little bit of myth busting and talk about that a little bit. In episode 44, I think we actually scratched the subject. I think that was around financial don'ts. And I think we were talking a little bit about taxes and, you know, again, because folks were trying to hack the tax system and all that kind of stuff. And then it was episode 47. Mm-hmm. I feel like we touched on this a little bit with respect to like media literacy, which kind of helps people say, all right, well, this is some of the stuff that I'm hearing, but this is how I should be sifting through some of the noise and getting back to the real stuff. But I don't know if I'm in a bubble or not, but I'm curious, like, is it just men? I'm calling out the men, but I presume it's not just dudes.
Yeah, I don't know that it's just men, but I can assume that your algorithm probably suggests more dudes to you. A lot of women have recently become entrepreneurs in the last couple of years, and setting up business structures is one of the first things that many coaches and advisors mention.
Yeah.
I think the reason it gets linked to hustle culture is because it almost legitimizes side hustles, which for a long time could just be done under the table.
Yeah.
You could collect extra income through these wallet apps like Cash App, Venmo, or you could even, you know, do cash.
Yeah.
And the government might not notice because in the past, you would have had to report it, mm-hmm. kind of like an honor system. But recently, legislative changes were made, so now these apps report on your behalf, and you're out of the picture. If money has hit your account, Uncle Sam is going to know about it. So I think that might have spurred more chatter around business formation, because there's an impression that forming a business can be a good way to take advantage of tax reductions, which isn't necessarily not true, but isn't like a standalone statement.
Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of that stuff. And to your point, I feel like so much of the content these days is presented through like a prism of hustle. And so, you know, it's just, again, all these elaborate workarounds and cheat codes and trade secrets. Like when some of the stuff is actually pretty straightforward. So we want to talk about that in a straightforward way.
You are the turd in the punch bowl.
Yeah, I'm fine with being the turd the turd in the punch bowl. Okay. So business structures. I want to talk about what that is. I want to certainly dive into some of the perceptions of like what it entails, what comes along with using some of them. And obviously, I think some people are quite unfamiliar with this because most people aren't entrepreneurs. But I want to go ahead and dive right into what a business structure is and what some of the more popular structures are that are out there.
Yeah. So when we say business structure, it's like trying to apply a label or saying, what kind of business do you have? And the answer to that isn't, you know, I'm in the medical field or I run a hair salon or I have a trucking business. The answer is your legal classification, more often than not, for tax purposes.
Like, how does the IRS see you?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
I get it. You do whatever you do. But
how does the IRS see you? Yeah. So there are several of them, but the most popular ones are sole proprietorship, partnerships, corporations, S-corporations, also called S-corps, and limited liability corporations, or LLCs. Yes. We're not going to go into all of those in detail, but we'll definitely talk about sole proprietorships, partnerships, and LLCs.
Okay, so let's start with sole proprietorship. So the IRS defines a sole proprietorship as someone who owns an unincorporated business by himself or by herself. And this business classification is the easiest one to do because it doesn't require you to do anything differently than what you are like just doing as a citizen of the United States.
Correct.
All it really is almost like a baked in benefit of being a citizen of the United States. Mm-hmm. Like, you are a citizen. We want you to engage in business activities. We want to make that easy for
you. It's your right.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to check in with us. Feel free to go out there in the world and engage in business activities. There's no form. There's no number required aside from like your social security
just
number.
Make sure I get my little piece of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're like, do you.
Do you.
But, you know, pay your uncle when the time comes due and we won't have any problems.
Right.
If you just sell like whatever it is you provide and collect income from it, the only thing you have to do is just report that income on your taxes. Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to repeat that. Report the income on your taxes. And you would do that the same way that you report taxes as an employee, right? I mean, aside from all the paperwork and forms that you might have through an employer. And so obviously the perks are great from the standpoint of it not really requiring you to do anything. You could just wake up tomorrow, hit the road running, and you're done, right? Like you literally, I want to repeat this, you don't have to do anything. You, if you're breathing and you are a legal citizen, you have the right to engage in business activities immediately. It is a perk. It is a benefit of being a citizen of the United States. Now, if you start hiring people and you start, you know, having to do a little bit more complex things, then you'll have to start filing paperwork related to like payroll and paying supplemental taxes on that kind of stuff. But, you know, other than that, like for the most part, for the foreseeable future, you are entitled and allowed to engage in business activities.
Yes.
And you would be considered a sole proprietor.
Yes. So while your U.S. nationality essentially grants you these powers up front, there are some things that you want to think about as a sole proprietor. So because in a sole proprietorship, you and your business are one and the same, if someone has a legal claim against your business, they basically have a legal claim against you.
Right.
So, for example, when we own rental properties, if we had owned them under a sole proprietorship and someone sued us, the tenant could sue us and make a claim against everything we have that is tied to our name,
right,
our home, our investment accounts, everything. The same would be true if you owned a cleaning business where you're the owner and the operator, but someone sues you or sues your business because their washing machine stopped working after your last visit and they assume you broke it. You are responsible. In a sole proprietorship, your personal finances are up for grabs to replace their washing machine and any damages associated with their clothes.
Yep.
Another downside to this structure is that business credit from banks can be more difficult to come by as a sole proprietor. Ideally, a creditor, and again, we're talking about traditional banks, want to see that a business is freestanding, that it's established, and that it has certain protections in place before they give you the money.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the risk that we just mentioned, that's harder to do as a sole proprietor. Basically, you're asking a bank to lend you money and take the same risk that you're undertaking, which they may do,
right,
but it'll be accounted for in the loan term. So that loan is probably going to be more expensive.
Right.
That's not to say that you can't go alternative ways. You can do business to business or peer-to-peer loans. But again, those tend to be also a little more expensive than like traditional banks. So it's just something that you need to think of when you're pursuing this type of business structure.
Yeah. And so here's a way that I would think about sole proprietorship or just thinking about a couple of examples. So like you have a babysitter, you know, like mm-hmm. if someone's just coming to your house, like you're not requiring them to fill out paperwork, but they are engaging in business with you, right? You are essentially hiring them to do a task, but you didn't fill out a job application. Maybe you work through a service or something like that. But obviously in a lot of cases, when you're working with like a babysitter or someone, you know, just is going to come and clean your pool, right? You know, like it's, they could be sole proprietor. They could be, you know, active members of an LLC, but mm-hmm. for the most part, they don't have to be. They could just be quick, somebody just coming to get a couple hundred bucks and call it a day. Now, even in more, you know, let's say white collar jobs, you could be a management consultant and still be a sole proprietor.
Yeah. Right?
You don't have to go to the extent of filling out paperwork or having a more elaborate business structure. The last one I would say to your point, even as a real estate investor, you could own $1 million worth of real estate as a sole proprietor, mm-hmm. right? And it's not necessarily a bad thing because there are other ways that you can do to protect yourself, even though we started talking about some of the legislative risks or the risks of being potentially sued. Now, in terms of taxes, because this is where it I would say, gosh, it's probably the largest misconception. But this is another benefit of sole proprietorships because the income you earn is taxed the same way and at the same rate. So the term the IRS uses is pass-through entity, which means the income from your business activities are reported on your personal tax return, not separately. It's reported on the same 1040 form that you'd use to file taxes for any other wages or salary that you would earn. And similarly, any of the deductions that you have when you're engaging in those business activities are on that same form. So none of it is seen as separate. And that's why I think the biggest misconception comes about when people are talking about business structures and especially LLCs, because so many people hear that the word it was like so many people hear the word LLC and they immediately think that since it's a form of corporation, that you're paying like a corporate tax rate.
A lower rate, which, in many
cases is, you know, lower. Like you hear on the news, like, President Biden just slashed the corporate tax rate to 25% or 15% or what Trump did, right? And so I think people hear that word corporation and they immediately assume that if you have an LLC that you are essentially going to be now considered a corporation, you're taxed at that same rate. And that's not true, right? The IRS sees income earned and passed through those business activities. And I know we're sort of bleeding into LLC here, but the point is it's exactly the same.
Right.
If you are a sole proprietor, your business activities pass through and are submitted through a 1040, and the same is true through an LLC. The two are both considered pass-through entities. And so even in our case, Rich and Regular is a limited liability company registered here in the state of Georgia. And another company that we started is registered here in the state of Georgia. We have business partners on one. With Rich and Regular, we do not. But either way, the income, the deductions, all of them essentially pass through and are seen the same in the eyes of the IRS.
Right. I think that's a great point. And I think one of the other misconceptions around sole proprietorships is that they're either small businesses at best or non-existent at worst.
Right.
And neither of those are true. You can make millions and millions and millions of dollars operating under this business structure. In fact, Amazon was wholly owned and operated 100% by Jeff Bezos as a sole proprietor before it went public.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, many sellers on Amazon, again, operating million-dollar businesses, mm-hmm. operate as sole
multi-million-dollar
proprietors.
Yeah.
And I think another misconception about sole proprietorships is that because they can't sell shares, per se, to partners and investors, then they can't grow.
Yeah.
They can't scale. But again, there are tons of privately owned, family-owned and operated companies that debunk this. You can think about Dyson, which is privately owned and by a family, or you can think about the Mars family, which is a great example of this. Mars Inc.
Bruno and them. Hashtag dad joke.
That is a dad joke. You're stealing my thunder. I was supposed to be making the good jokes. Mars Inc. is the company that makes M&M's, Skittles, Snickers, Twix, several of your favorite candies.
Yep.
And they are the third richest family in the country. Why? Because they don't have external investors. They operate as a family-owned business.
I love that.
Yeah, just remember that what you may associate with LLC and the grandeur of that word corporation isn't necessarily reflective of how successful that business is. And this is a timely reminder that a CPA or a tax advisor is your friend and they can help you think through these situations for, you know, in most cases, a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, yeah. You know what this is really making me think of? And I just want to go ahead and get this off my chest. Because the internet is truly like the wild, wild west these days. Like people can just get on the internet, say whatever they want.
Any old thing.
And there's no...
And it's always been like that.
It has.
But the algorithms tend to pick up the things that are not exactly accurate.
I mean, I think for me, I really felt like we'd hit a tipping point when people started talking about like gifting an LLC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those always go viral
for some
reason.
Obviously, I'm thinking about... Like, first of all, like, just gifting someone a car, first of all, is just crazy. But that's also a thing. Like, I have and know people who have, you know, celebrated, like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, my son just gave me this car. And was like, you mean a car note? He just gave you a car note?
Right.
Like, that's a gift? Wow. Congratulations. It's wrapped in a bow. You owe $500
a month for
the next 7 years. But, like, yeah, gifting an LLC, I think, is so... Like, that's so crazy. It doesn't even make any sense to me, right? Like, first of all, it's a business structure with, like, long-term implications. So that would be like me saying, congratulations. Like, you've been talking about money. I've been listening to you. So I just went ahead and, like, enrolled you in the University of Georgia. And you are now an MBA student. Like,
class
and you start
tomorrow.
Congratulations. It's like,
thank
like,
you.
Dude, like, this is work. You just gave me, like, that's not how this works. So, yeah, if you said, like, at dinner that, like, you hate your job, and then, like, you know, I just went ahead and submitted your notice to your boss and got you a new one,
you know, you a new job.
Like, yeah, like
gifting it's just, you a new job.
It's crazy, invasive, and presumptuous. You know what I mean? So please, if somebody gives you an LLC, like
give it back.
I don't even know how that works. Keep the receipt. I've never, like, just, yeah.
We should do a Twitter poll on, like, the most inconvenient gifts you've ever received. Because this makes me think about that one time I got a gift card for a restaurant that was a smooth 90 minutes away.
Oh, like, cool.
With no traffic.
You should go.
I was like, why would I go to Helen, Georgia for, for a meal? I don't care how lovely it was.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Anyway, we're going to let Julian cool off after a quick break. And then we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. All right, you all right?
You ever give down? Me an LLC?
I'm about to like get you baby. One for Father's Day.
That's like,
I got you this daughter.
It's like, what am I gonna do with her? Send it back. Okay, I'll be okay. Yeah, so this stuff is actually happening out there, right? And as much as we love sharing with our listeners and joking about it, you know, there are just moments where, like, you realize the broader implications of the work that we do. And for some people, it's just entertainment. But I think for others, like, you know, we can joke about it. But these kinds of conversations and tackling these kinds of subjects, I think, can help you, especially when it's people that you love and they're around you and they're sort of talking about LLCs and now you got to do this. And it's like, just remind them, be the turd in the punch bowl that says you don't have to do all of that. Like, you do not have to do that. Like, you can continue to just operate your business in a very simple way, and you can give them examples like you just shared. So let's dive into LLCs. And so, as Kirsten said, it's an acronym for Limited Liability Company. And the primary purpose of this particular business structure is to do exactly what the name suggests, to limit the liability of the company, which means, going back to what we were saying before, if someone sues you, or sues your company rather, your personal liability in connection to the company's business activities are protected, mm-hmm. right? So let's say you're a contractor that's hired to install something in an apartment building. And years after you do that, the building catches on fire and there's some property loss. And there's reason to believe that it has something to do with your work, right?
Right.
The residents of that building, the owners of that building, shoot, businesses nearby that building, the city, like any number of people can technically sue you for negligence or shoddy work or something like that. And so if you're a millionaire and your funds are in a tax deferred account that's like tied to your LLC, they can come after you mm-hmm. for that money and any other money that the LLC has, like profit, a property that might be owned by anything that has monetary value, they can essentially sue you and come after it for damage or compensation. So if all your money is in that account tied to your name, let's say, you know, Jennifer Smith, I'm just making it up, then it'll be much more difficult to touch that money because legally you had nothing to do with the fire. Your right. contracting services business did, right? Now, that doesn't mean that they won't find a way to still come after
right.
you, but the LLC is almost like it's like a protective layer, right? It does not prevent them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they can't actually touch it, but it makes it a lot more difficult for people to come after your personal account, your personal funding, your personal home, and all those other things. So your LLC is an entity in and of itself that is seen almost like a person. You can come after that person, but you
right.
can't come after
me. Correct.
Right? It doesn't have a social security number like you. What your LLC will have is what's called an EIN, which is an employee identification number, which is something that you would get as a part of the process of filing for an LLC.
Yeah. So I think we can use our company as a real world example. We own Rich and Regular LLC as one of our businesses. And on our blog, we have a disclaimer on the content that you read for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
In our book, while we are the authors, the deal is between Rich and Regular LLC
right.
and Penguin Random House.
Right.
Our relationship, even with the sponsor of this podcast, Success Magazine, is the exact same way. It's
right.
between Success Magazine and Rich and Regular LLC. Rich and Regular is its own entity. So whenever we engage in a business activity, we make the decision on whether this is Rich and Regular, whether it's me, Kirsten, or whether it's Julian.
Right.
Right. So in terms of taxes, this doesn't make much of a difference because, like a sole proprietorship, LLCs are treated as pass-through entities. And the term pass-through, as Julian mentioned, refers to how the IRS treats your business finances and your personal finances as the same thing, right? So in a sole proprietorship, there's no difference between your personal income and your business income. In an LLC, there's no difference between your personal income and your share of the company's profits, which can range depending on whether you have partners or not. Other business entities require that you file separate taxes for both your business and your personal finances. But under a sole proprietorship or an LLC, you'll only have to file a single return.
Yep.
Now, there are some minor tax differences between the two entities that you should be aware of. But in my opinion, there's no meaningfully relevant or special tax treatments just because you have an LLC.
Right.
And that is a huge myth. So we want to bust that right now. So the next time your cousin or someone on social media mentions it, you can politely disagree. The caveats are around little things like filing fees, legal fees tied to forming the LLC, or any payroll taxes you have tied to the LLC. Those are tax deductible and specific to an LLC, but they're not unique to LLCs. All business structures allow you to do that. And I think what people tend to do is they use the term LLC as a substitute for business,
yes,
or they use them interchangeably. And they're not the same thing.
Yeah.
You can have a business without having an LLC.
Let's just keep it real. It sounds cool. That's all it is.
Right.
It sounds cool.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why, like, people do it. And then people say, you know, S Corp sounds even cooler because fewer people who have that, right?
Right.
That's all it is, guys. And so please don't get caught up in that stuff. Again, most of the things, they're just very subtle differences. Basically broken down.
And then when you get to higher income levels and more complex business structures, very similar to filing your personal taxes, if you have different types of assets, you start factoring in inheritances and trusts and donor advised funds. Yes, there are certain things that you want to consult a professional on, but for the mass majority of people, this is not the thing that you want to, like, split hairs on.
Right, right. So let's dive deeper into LLCs a little bit. So we already mentioned the EIN, the Employee Identification Number, which is like the social security number for this business entity or this business organization that you are creating. But there are other things that you would need to consider as well. And so I'll go down that list as well. And this is specific to LLCs. So the first are articles of organization. You'll have to submit or file articles of organization, which is basically like a simple form that says, this is what the company is. This is what it will be called. This is a brief description of the company. This is our mailing address, like basic information so that they know who to contact should there be an issue. Part of that will also include acting members and registered agents. So that's like, who are the people that are a part of this organization? Who are agents? Meaning these are the people who will be making important business decisions, right? So you may have some people who are a part of it, but they are in the background. But this is the registered agent, meaning this is the person that actually filled out this form. This is the person who will be responsible for these types of decisions. You may also include things like acting managers, right? So you've got all these different roles. So you may have a couple of people who are just there for the purposes of keeping the business going, some people who are actively engaged in managing the paperwork. Again, this is all for liability purposes so that if something happens, they can say, well, you were the acting manager. This person was really just a member. And then you'll have things like your operating agreement, which just breaks down the stakes of ownership and talks about how the business operates. This is what it does. This is who does what they're in charge of, et cetera. And then lastly, you will have things like your business checking account information or your business credit card information. None of this stuff needs to be complicated, right? If you've got a complex business, obviously you can work through an attorney and they will gladly help you set that information up. We've done both. We have started LLCs literally doing it on our own. And so we went to sites like LegalZoom or Rocket Lawyer and we've started that and filled out the information and we were up and running in probably a week or so. Mm-hmm. But we've also gone the route of working through an attorney to set the latter part, or the last time I think we did, I think it was for Rich and Regular because we had them do some trademark work as well. But I want to mention that because we were actually really fortunate to be operating under a grant when we were working with an attorney. I can't even imagine how much more it would cost if we'd actually done all of those things or always worked through an attorney. But you can do this through some of the sites that we just mentioned, LegalZoom, Rocket Lawyer, right. And I'm sure there are a couple of others out there for maybe a couple $100. And yeah. It's a simple template. You log on and it just walks you through, very similar to like filing your taxes by yourself. It just walks you through that process.
Yeah.
And here in the state of Georgia, you can basically file for LLC for about $100. Mm-hmm. I would say in general, I feel safe saying that any state that you go to is going to be like probably under $200.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty simple. You cut the check to the Secretary of State. You work through the process. You get approved. They send you a certificate and congratulations. You yeah. are a member, acting agent, or however you decide to label yourself of a limited liability company.
Yeah. So long story short, LLC is definitely a buzzword, but ultimately I found that the decision to form one or not boils down to risk
yes.
and not necessarily taxes. If you're comfortable with the risk involved in the work that you do, then maybe go ahead and be a sole proprietorship. If you're not, an LLC may be worth the little paperwork and added layer of work, but you know, it's not much. Getting the business checking account may actually be the hardest part because all the other online sites pretty much walk you through a questionnaire to get it done and you're finished in minutes. So this is not a place where you want to experience analysis paralysis. And just keep in mind that maybe focus on the risk as the starting factor instead of the ins and outs of U.S. tax law.
Yeah. And don't fall for anyone that may suggest that like you are not a legitimate business owner if you don't have an LLC. Again,
that's
I think
crazy.
That goes back to the hype, right? Like, you know, I'm not going to be in favor of someone who is, you know, Jane Doe LLC versus just Jane Doe. Like, you can, please, don't fall for that.
Right.
Okay, really quickly, I want to dive into partnerships, which is, because this is interesting, right? Like, we have an LLC and we have business partners, but that organization is not considered a partnership. And so this can be a little confusing, and that's why we wanted to talk a little bit about this. And I actually had to do a little bit of research because, again, I've never filed or started a formal partnership. So it was good to kind of dive in and learn a little bit more about the differences between a partnership and an LLC, where you may actually have business partners, which you may casually refer to as a partnership. And basically, what I learned is that it works just like a sole proprietorship, right? Mm. So a partnership as a business structure is just like a sole proprietorship. It's just with two or more owners. Mm-hmm. So again, when you start talking about the differences, you wouldn't be doing that or deciding to file as a partnership for tax purposes. This is going to always boil down to risk. And so if you're doing something that's pretty straightforward, you can literally just form a contract or a partnership agreement that lays out the terms and how the partnership is going to operate, which freedoms are going to be granted to each partner. But again, it's going to look very similar to a sole proprietorship. That would be the difference between a partnership and, let's say, a just general sole proprietorship. In terms of taxes, each partner would basically report their income separately. So if you and your friend decided to form a formal partnership and you had a job that, let's say, earned $50,000, you basically add the business earnings from your partnership to your 1040, and your partner will add their income to their 1040. Mm-hmm. Your respective tax rates are based on how much you both earn separately with no relation to the other person. So that's
right.
Basically all a partnership is. So if you think about how simple sole proprietorships are, partnership is just as simple. You're just filing an agreement that says, well, this is who does what, this is how the ownership will be split, and now you're operating as a partnership.
Right. So there are a few things that you want to give some thought to, though, and that's primarily around liability. And this is super important because America is known to be extremely litigious, meaning mm-hmm. we like to sue. In fact, we're in the top five most litigious countries in the world. So let's say, again, it's a contractor partnership and your partner is the one that installed the appliance incorrectly that leads to damage of a property.
Yeah.
If your partner doesn't have any money, legally, they can come after you. So you're in your agreements, you want to make sure that you're very clear on how that should work.
Yep.
Again, I'm not trying to convince everybody that you're going to get sued if you don't have an LLC or some other business structure, keep in mind that the courts have processes in place that prevent baseless and frivolous lawsuits. So if you're not doing anything that puts you at risk of being sued, then you're probably fine. But if you are, you definitely want to make sure that you protect yourself somehow. And one of the best ways to do that is through another concept called umbrella insurance.
Yep. Yeah, I am a huge fan of umbrella insurance because I think even in the context of this conversation, this is the thing that should probably help people overcome all of the complexity and the paperwork and all the legal mumbo jumbo, right? We spoke about the importance of risk here, and you're going to assume some degree of risk, whether or not you are a sole proprietor, whether or not you have a buttoned up partnership agreement, or you file an LLC. You're going to assume some risk for any business structure. If you're engaging in business activities, it doesn't matter. But umbrella insurance, which is, again, we spoke about this in a previous episode, is such a great tool because this can be the thing that actually helps to give you the sense of protection that I think a lot of people assume their business structure is going to do for them, right? So umbrella insurance is basically a supplemental insurance policy, might be $10 or $20 a month for the most part, and you can be covered for upwards of $1 million, right? So if you are sued. Again, we keep talking about that, not to scare you, but that's the environment that we work in. But if somebody decides to sue you, or if something happens and you have to cover a cost that you could not have assumed would have or could have planned for, that umbrella insurance kicks in, you're covered up to $1 million. And again, the cost of umbrella insurance is minor. So small. You can flex it up if you want to, if things are going great, or you're engaging in activities that you feel could put you at greater risk. You can get more. You can, I don't know that you can go less than $1 million for the most part. Maybe you can, but I don't know. I've not looked at a bunch of policies in a while.
Yeah.
But I would just say, if you're looking to avoid all the paperwork and the annual re-registrations and any of the back and forth whenever there's a change, you can choose to keep things simple like you are allowed to do in a sole proprietorship or a partnership. Avoid all the paperwork, get a nice little umbrella insurance policy, and you're pretty protected just like that.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking it's unfortunate that UI is already used for so many other things because I could start to form UI Twitter, you know, for umbrella insurance Twitter for those of us who are passionate about
this.
Protecting our adding a layer of protection to our assets. But then, you know, user interface would probably be upset. Unemployment insurance. Urinary infection. Like
That's where my mind was going too. I was like, I don't know the letter U's.
Anyway, let's move to final thoughts. Going off the rails.
Yeah, please.
All right. So my final thought is do not be afraid to consult with an expert. We have thrown out a lot of subjective decision-making variables from risk to liability to likelihood to get sued. And all of those are going to vary based on a person's, you know, past and their comfort level with each of those things, which is why you get so much conflicting information. There are people who always think they're going to be sued or people who think it's so rare that like it's not worth the headache. But one thing that you can know for sure is that Uncle Sam don't play about his. He is definitely going to get what's due to him one way or another. And we've talked about, again, risk a lot in this episode, primarily from a customer standpoint or a client standpoint of somebody suing you. But the real risk here is that you don't pay your taxes based on some faulty information that you stumbled across on Instagram or whatever social media site you're on. So yeah, don't be afraid to invest in expertise. There are thousands of CPAs and attorneys and platforms that are available to debunk and talk through your specific concerns around your particular business.
I love that. You know, my final thought, I'm actually going to borrow it and I might even misquote it, but it is, I believe, from Mark Cuban. And he said something to the effect when someone was asking him probably very similar questions that he's never made a business decision solely based on the likelihood that he could save on taxes, right? Like, so when you're engaging in these conversations with people and they're talking about wanting to start a business or business idea, I completely agree with him. Like, your ability to save through taxes should not be one of the key reasons why you're deciding to engage in a business. That's not a good reason to start a business, right? The good reason or better reason is because you believe you're solving a problem. You believe there's a market there. You believe there's revenue and, as a result, profit to be gained there. Taxes and saving on taxes is something that is naturally going to come. And the more business activities you do, the more likelihood that you're going to have an opportunity to save via taxes. But that shouldn't be a driving force behind why you decide to step out and start a business. So keep that in mind. Again, the huge misconception here is that LLCs specifically are a business structure that allow you to save on taxes. I believe we've done a pretty good job of debunking that. So move on, take that off the criteria, focus more so on the business activity you're trying to undertake, knocking it out of the park, go on and prosper.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success. You know, one thing that doesn't require an LLC, any taxes or paperwork at all, is leaving us a 5-star rating and review on that ratings and review page. As always, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.